fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. It's great to be back with you again. I want to talk this week about a little book that I want to recommend to you first. It's written by a Catholic philosopher named Joseph Pieper. And the book is called A Brief Reader on the Virtues of the Human Heart. It's a beautiful little book. It's a little bit philosophical, but it's very readable. I think anybody who's listening to the program could read it and draw some really great stuff from it. I want to look at it because I'm following up from what I talked about last week. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program last week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there, or you can download them and listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. I talked last week about the struggle between a culture of life and culture of death that's going on within our country, and pointed out ways in which that culture of death is expressing itself in a broader and more intense way than ever before, and what that means. And a culture is a way of life of a people. A culture expresses through its politics, through its art, through its economics, through its whole life, it expresses the fundamental values that undergird the culture. And it's what creates the heart and the core of this way of life that people live. And so the culture of death that's emerging in the post-Christian culture that we're facing right now, this time of post-Christianity, where the secular has really laid hold of the dominant culture-shaping vehicles within the culture, politics, media, all kinds of areas, education, universities, more and more. Society, as Pope Benedict said so clearly, people are pushing God from the human horizon. And the will of man and man's will to resist God and say, I will not serve, man's ego, man's trust in his own understanding. Man sees himself as ultimately in conflict with God because man can't be happy and can't be free if he has to surrender to somebody else's view of how he ought to live. God's commandments are an imposition. They're not a road to freedom. They're not a pathway to understand who we are. So we're living in the midst of it, and it's really intensifying the battle. But as I was thinking about it, there's a little section. The whole book is kind of dedicated to St. Thomas Aquinas's and maybe Aristotle's understanding of the virtues. And in particular, the beautiful way in which St. Thomas Aquinas endeavored to express the Christian image of the human person, of what it means to be a Christian man or a Christian woman. And he does it along the seven virtues that are often talked about, the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, and the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. I want to read what Joseph Pieper, who's kind of an expert on Aquinas, what he wrote, because it's quite beautiful. And hopefully I can break these open a little bit for you today and tomorrow and see how far we can go with this. The first thing Aquinas notes is that the Christian is one who, in faith, becomes aware of the reality of the triune God. So the first theological virtue, the theological virtues are given to us, are infused in us, given to us at baptism. These are powers God gives us to be able to habitually live with a faith vision, for example. And his point is to say that the Christian becomes aware of the reality of the triune God. Faith is a gift. Faith is a way of knowing. It's a way of trusting. It's a way of seeing. And what is it that we see? The gospel is proclaimed. The revelation of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he said about the human race. What he said about himself and the Father. His work of salvation. His dying on the cross. His passion, death, resurrection, ascension to the right hand of the Father. His outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Revelation, God reveals himself in his creation, but he also reveals himself, and really more importantly, reveals himself beginning with Abraham. God reveals himself directly to Abraham, then to Moses, and throughout history, moving toward the fullness of time when God reveals himself through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. God becomes one of us. He walks among us. And he reveals to us who we are, the entire point of our life. And so faith is a way of receiving that revelation of God, God's understanding of reality. And faith is a way of surrendering and trusting ourselves to that revelation. I love in Romans where St. Paul talks about Abraham, our father in faith. And God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. Why? Because Abraham trusted God. He became a nomad of faith. He left everything that was secure, that he built, and he took his family and he followed the command of God. A command to go to a land of promise, and he didn't know where it was. He didn't know how long it was going to get there. But he acted on faith. He trusted God. He built his whole life upon the commands of God and the invitation of God to follow him. Jesus ultimately expressed his trust in the Father on the cross. And he communicates to each one of us from the cross, telling us, don't be afraid of anything. The only thing you should fear is to not trust my Father, because that will lead to death. That'll lead to judgment. But nothing in this world can separate you from my love and the love of my Father. If you trust us, you say yes. You allow my grace to work in you to bring you home. So we become aware of the reality of God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Second, the Christian strives in hope for the total fulfillment of his being in eternal life. What is hope? Hope is the, again, here, a spiritual, an infused virtue, the conviction and the confidence that my life is headed toward fulfillment. I mean, think about it, friends. If you're a believer, if you're a follower, it's an amazing thing that you're buoyed each day and you're lifted each day by the power of something at work in you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has awakened this grace that you have confidence that what has been revealed in Jesus will be given to us, that we've become partakers in what belongs to Christ. And what belongs to Jesus is victory over the power of sin and death. What belongs to Jesus is his sonship, and he's present for every eternity in glory in the presence of the Father, in absolute freedom and joy. Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life. So no matter what the circumstance, friends, this is the secret that's revealed to us, that many of them, whether it was Maximilian Kolbe in Auschwitz, whether it was, you know, saints dying and suffering, various kinds of very severe physical ailments, they embraced it all. They knew where their life was headed. They knew death was just a doorway. It wasn't the final word. It wasn't the final act. And they lived with such strength because they were confident in the one who promised eternal life. It's a fundamental characteristic of a Christian, and it drives out despair and presumption, which are sins against hope that maybe I can talk about later this week. The third thing, the Christian directs himself or herself in the divine virtue of love through the affirmation of God and neighbor that surpasses the power of any natural love. To love someone is to will their good, is to say yes. And to, in relationship to God, to love God is to say yes to him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how love is concretely expressed. I want what Jesus wants for me. I say yes to him. And I want what the Father wants for me. And I know that obeying him puts me at the heart of his will and allows me to become everything I was meant to be. Saying yes to God. And then to love my neighbor, to will the good of my neighbor beyond the simple natural level, but to even love those who hate you, to love our enemies, to will their good, even to the point that the martyrs are the great witnesses of love even till the end. Many of them, the early martyrs in particular, the martyrs of our time today in the Middle East, those are having their heads cut off, decapitated, kneeling in prayer, not holding it against those who were unjustly killing them, praying for their murderers. That's the love of Christ. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus prayed that for you and for me from the cross. While we were his enemies, Scripture says, he loved us. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. That's the heart of Jesus. Faith, hope, and love, these theological virtues are given to us as God's free gift in baptism, the fourth characteristic in the image of the Christian. Is the Christian is prudent, namely, he doesn't allow his view on reality to be controlled by the yes or no of his will, but rather he makes this yes or no of the will dependent upon the truth of real things. This is that's a mouthful and sounds kind of complicated, but he's talking about the will. The will is that power in us to say yes to God or to say no to God, to say yes to reality or to say no to reality. And the prudent person, now, this is a cardinal virtue. It's not an infused theological virtue. But this habit of receiving reality for what it actually is, standing in silence and honesty and openness before the truth of the way things actually are, to receive reality on its own terms. Right now, friends, we are the most imprudent people in the West. We have decided we're going to will the truth. Not that we're going to grasp the truth and say yes to the truth that's revealed and exercising our will toward that truth, which leads to true freedom. But we're now saying we're the masters. We create reality. We define reality. So an example, you know, the whole abortion hearing. So all this supposed confusion about whether the baby in the womb is indeed a baby, we decide to suppress the truth about it. Because the noise of our mind and our will and our passions, we don't want this child, so therefore we're going to come up with a way of saying it's not a human being, it doesn't have any rights, and it's my body, so I have master and I'm the control of everything. We deceive ourselves. So it's imprudent. It's an exercise in denying and saying no to the truth and to reality as it presents itself to us. It's a lie fundamentally. And the virtue of prudence is at the foundation of all the cardinal virtues. We can't live in the habit of living toward the good, being good people, without being prudent. That is, being able to say yes to reality as it reveals itself to us and understanding it. Okay, the fifth virtue. The Christian is just. That is, he's able to live with the other in truth. He sees himself as a member among members of the church, of the people, and of any community. To be just is to give another his or her due. I'm going to recognize the dignity of that person. I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not going to manipulate them. I'm not going to use them for my own ends. They're not means, they're ends. I recognize the truth of their own dignity. The sixth virtue is the Christian is brave. That is, he's prepared to suffer injury, and if need be, death for the truth and for the realization of justice. And seventh, the Christian is temperate. Namely, he does not permit his desire to possess and his desire for pleasure to become destructive and inimical to his own being. Those are the seven fundamental virtues that the Christian life is built on. And it's what shapes the human person. And it's what the Holy Spirit wants to form in each and every one of us. And in that, as we walk, then the fruits of the Spirit emerge as well. So I want to talk tomorrow a little bit more in detail about each one of these to help you understand them and help me understand them more, putting ourselves at the feet of Joseph Pieper here. But you're called to virtue. God wants to help you walk in it today and be all that you can be in God. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Pieter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Pieter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.